Let's bow our head, have a moment of silent prayer, and then I will lead you to pray. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight. We calm our hearts down and we open up the door of our hearts to invite you, Lord Jesus, to come into our lives once again, to speak to us tonight, to minister to us, to touch upon our lives. Lord, we commit ourselves in your hands tonight. May you manifest yourself in our lives. May your love draw us nearer to you. Teach us, guide us, lead us, so that we will live a life that will be pleasing in your eyesight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we start tonight with a very familiar song that called As the Deer? There are three verses. Let's try the first one.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You
second verse.
You're my friend and you're my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything.
I'm going to ask the pianist to keep playing. We take a moment of time to reflect upon the lyric of the song. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. The second stanza particularly touched me. It says, you are my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. Let's have a moment of meditation upon the Lord's love. He is a king, but yet he is your friend and he is your brother. Stand up. Let's give our adoration, worship to our Lord. He's worthy. From the first stanza.
As the deer panteth for the water.
My friend.
You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything.
First stanza.
I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye.
Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Lord, this is our song. This song reflects our deepest desire in our hearts. You alone are my strength. You alone are my shield. You are the only one in my life that I pursue, because you are the creator of my life. You are the creator of the heaven and earth. Lord, we give thanks to you. Tonight may your love draw us nearer to you. Touch upon us. No matter how young we are or how old we are your children. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We continue to worship our Lord with the second song, Our Lord God. How many you sing this song before? Let's try it a little bit. Okay, slower. I have difficulty with the tempo also, but let's learn together. Taste of that, right? The chorus seems to be a little bit easier for us. Shall we stand up and sing the chorus along? Let's sing it three times.
Nothing.
too difficult for me. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty in thee. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. We'll take up the tempo a little bit. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty in thee. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty in thee. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Shall we shake hands with each other, greet each other, saying that we have a mighty and great God, nothing is difficult for him. You may be seated. I would like to invite you together. Usually I would stand down there, but because of the wireless mic is not working, so I stand up here. I invite you, adults and children, if you sit next to each other, family member, we get together to pray for several things. One is you can share with each other one thing you want to pray for, that the other party would pray for you, would intercede for you. But if you don't have much thing to share, then I urge you to pray for the war that this country is engaged right now, to pray for the innocent lives, whether it's American or Iraqi people, pray for them. And also remember the pneumonia epidemics in Asia is getting spread out more and more every day. And God's mercy is upon this country. So far we have no death. But ask God to protect the country, protect each other, protect ourselves, protect our family members, protect our friends. Okay? So let's get together and pray, intercede for each other. And then I will lead you for a closing prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity that we can pray for each other. I know that when we pray, you are among us, that you will listen to all our prayers. May you guide us. May you answer the prayer in your own way, in your own timing. And may we see your grace upon our lives day after day. And each day when we wake up, we know that we can know you, we can walk with you a little bit more closer than the other day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight is the time once a month that we will share the Lord's Supper together. I invite you to meditate upon the Lord's Supper, and we will use the same song as the deer, the verse 2 stanza. When let's sing that song, and then when we sing that song, we meditate upon that. The Lord always used the elements. We call it the elements, the bread and the cup. The bread signifies the Lord's body. The cup signifies the blood that he shed for us to cleanse our sins. And when we share that, we partake that, we eat that, and then when we eat that, that means in our lives we have the Lord's life. That means in our life we share one body, one Lord, Jesus Christ. And it's a mystery. That's why the Lord used this element, this act, to show us the meaning, the deep meaning of the communion. I know, even though not all of us tonight here, you can partake that. But nevertheless, we belong to the same body. Let's bow our head and have time meditation when the pianist plays the song for us. Let's sing the first verse stanza. The second stanza, as we sing, would the steward come forward? The night Jesus was betrayed, but in the dinner time, he took the bread, break it, and passed it to his disciples, reminding them, saying that this is the body broken for you and for me. Do so in remembrance of me.
Let's sing the second stanza of As the Deer. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ's body broken for you and me, so that we can be one again. Let's partake with a grateful heart. After the dinner, he passed down the cup, blessed, passed it to his disciple, saying that this is the blood that I used to shed to establish the New Testament with you. Do this in remembrance of me.
blood of Christ that turn God's wrath away from our lives. Let's partake together with a grateful heart. Communion tonight. And before we go into the announcement, I would like to invite all the children that you supposed to go to your classroom. You may do so right now. And for the rest of us, I would like to know, is there anyone here tonight? This is the first time you come to join us together to worship on Saturday night. Would you please raise your hand? Let us know you. Anyone? Anyone here tonight is the first time? Would you like to introduce yourself, your name? And actually, I know your father. I know your father. Yeah. Would you like to introduce your name? John? Yeah, your last name is Zhang, right? Yes. I used to go to work with your father together in New York City. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome. Yeah. Anyone? Is there anyone? Anyone? Oh, here. Yes. Would you like to introduce yourself? West Windsor? Okay. Welcome. Yes. Anyone? Oh, we have two newcomers tonight. Anyone? Okay. There's some announcement. Let me remind you on the bulletin. Do you have the right one? Oh, he's giving out the right one. Okay, good. Blue is the right one, right? Are you getting the blue one? Okay. I wait for a couple of seconds when everybody gets one. Thank you. I think they made a mistake by switching 2 days into two different boxes. Okay. If you follow me to announcement number one, Education Day. April 12 and 13, it will be Education Day for the whole entire church. And there is a little correction on the time. If you go to the second last line of item number one, he said there will also be a special meeting at 1 p.m. It should not be 1 p.m. It should be 12:45, 15 minutes earlier. 12:45 on April 13 to recognize teachers for their faithful service. All are invited. And in that recognition, I was told that there are some teachers, they've been teaching for more than 15 years, and then they get a special honor. So if you want to know who and who served for how long, do join us on April 13, 12:45 p.m. That's right after lunch. And April 13, yes. Did I say something wrong? Okay. April 13, 12:45. April 12 is combined service. That's right. Thank you. The rest of the announcement you may read in your bulletin. I want to bring to your attention is at the bottom of the announcement, you see there's two team, STM. What does STM stand for? Do you know? STM? It's called Short Term Mission Team. Okay? These people, they are going on a short term mission to two different countries. Remember them, because these countries are basically Muslim countries, and they're traveling in an unsettled time, and we do not know how people view Americans, even though they all have the Chinese face. But nevertheless, sooner or later people will find out they're coming from America. So do pray for them. Pray for their safety. Pray for the Lord's guidance and grace upon their ministry. And these are the names. And urge you to put it on your refrigerator door and pray for them every day. And Tonight's scripture is recorded in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. It's not. Read it together.
Read it aloud.
1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Verses 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Tonight, a rather interesting title. Do you have a Nike? Do you have a Nike? Believe it or not, I never own a pair of Nikes. So let's invite Pastor Steve Chan to share the God's Word with us. Pastor Steve.
Good evening. I think it has been a long time since I preached in English service. I remember I used to preach once a month on Sunday morning in the family service and always be picked on by my sons, at least. I'm glad they are not here tonight. Go home, they always pick daddy, you should say listen, this and this, and they pronounce wrong and this and this. I expect that this will continue, okay? Even though my son's not here, he may start to pick on me, even though not in front of me. Go home, you can pick on me in front of your parents. But tonight I'm going to do something. Before you pick on me, I'm going to pick on you first and turn the table first. Can you tell me how to pronounce correctly? Reverend Chen says Nike. How do you pronounce the title tonight for me? Can anybody do that? Do you have a what? Nike. Where did you get it? Is that a correct pronunciation? Yeah, if I ask it, why? Why is correct? I used to do the same thing, right? I always pronounce Nike, 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 Nike. But until one day I got curious. I said, I got to find out, what does Nike mean? Do you know what Nike mean? Anybody know? Yes? Victory? How did you know that? That's a good answer. Some people tell me that, well, let's do it. Did you hear the commercial? Let's do it. But actually, now, if you go home, check your dictionary. We do have this word, N-I-K-E, but it's not pronounced Nike. It's pronounced Nikkei. Nikkei means victory. You are right. The word has been used to name an ancient Greek goddess of Nikkei. Do you also know that this word is being used to name one of the American missiles? You know how many missiles we have so far? Now, this week we heard a lot, right? You do have a missile, what? What kind of missile? Patriot, right? Even though sometimes they hit their own people. Friendly Patriot. Tomahawk missile. There's another missile is named after this word. They call Nikkei Hercules. Did you hear that? They call Victorious missiles. It's one of the serious American surface-to-air missiles. But where did we get this pronunciation Nike from? Do you know? I don't. But we always do that, Nike. What's Nike? Nike, we all know. You know, I know. That's a very welcome name of the commercial product. They call Nike products. The signs of the Nike product, the trademark is what? Check, right? So on the shoes, on the hats, on the pants, on the socks, no matter where you go, you see the Nike signs. But is Nike a good but not, as a matter of fact, they pay thousands of dollars for those celebrities who endorse them. Who are those celebrities? Michael Jordan? Name a few. Who else? Andrea Agassi? Who is he? A tennis player, right? Yao Ming. Oh, it's Yao Ming. You young people know Yao Ming, right? Yao Ming in Chinese means want your life. They call Yao Ming, 要你的命. They call Yao Ming. How about Michael Chan, the Chinese tennis player, right? So commercial, those people are very smart. They use the celebrity and to entice us to buy the product. You're thinking that if I own a pair of Nike shoes, I'll be like a Michael Jordan. I'll be like a what? Andrea Agassi, so I can start to beat up others who have their shoes. That's a fantasy, right? That's kind of idol worship. I used to do that when I was your age, you know, when I was young. I like to play tennis, you know. I used to use the racket used by Jimmy Connors. Anybody know Jimmy Connors? Jimmy Connors. But end up I was beat up. Even though I used the gadget he used, but I'm still what I am, even though I pay a lot of money. I think most of us own cake, but it's really too expensive for me. I remember one time I was out in a mission field and came across a village. They do have a flea market there. And flea market, I walked through, and there's different small stores. And surprise to me, there was one store on the sign. They do have a Nike sign there. They do have a Nike trademark there. So I was so curious. I walk in and look around. They do have the shoes. They do have the socks. They do have the hats, different type of clothes. And they are very, very cheap. Incredibly cheap. So I decided to buy some for my sons, two sons, right? They like here, I don't buy for them, too expensive. I said, okay, I'm going to buy. Before I buy, did you know what I discovered? Why they are so cheap? Because the Nike sign, the check, is left to right. Their sign is from left to right. No wonder it's so cheap. Because what? They were phony. They were fake. So by introducing this Nike instead of Nike, I'm going to offer you something which is free, but it's genuine. It's a genuine Nike, not a Nike, but also free. That's a victory. That's why leading to our today's scripture here, you say, what's got to do with our topic here? If you read through today, I'm not sure how many of you do have the Bibles in your hand. I like now everybody has the Bible when you go through. Because we may refer to some other references. So if you don't have it, I think in front of you, and that's in Chinese. How many of you don't have it? Let me see. Everybody has it, right? So here, if we read through, we just read through. Let's go back to verse 4 and 5. 4 and 5. In this 4 and 5, you can see that author John used three times. Three times he used the same phrases. Overcome the world. The beginning of verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Then this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at that in the middle of the 4. Verse 4. This is the victory. This is exactly the word translated from the Greek word we just mentioned, Nike, N-I-K-E. This is the Nike that has overcome the world. And the overcome is the verbal form of Nike, means Nikao. So you know two Greek words now tonight, right? Nike and the Nikao. So here seems that John is trying to bring out something that he repeatedly used the same words. Three times in the verb and one time in the noun. So, To him, he seems to try to emphasize the importance of the overcome the world. At the same time, he used different modifier to tell us not only this is important to overcome the world, but also by what means or by what way we can overcome the world. So I try to go a little bit deeper than this. Okay, we go into like in the Dawes sermon, we use the exposition really to divide the world in such a way you can really see why the author used this kind of word. What does he try to bring it out? What does he try to imply? So we can see the light behind the word here. Here I want to expose a little bit. Just follow me with that. If you go back to here, I mentioned three times John used the overcomes. These are the verbal form of DK, Nikao. And remember here that even though we in Chinese overcomes, overcome, and overcomes, there are three verbs, but in the original, there are two tenses, two different kind of tenses. These are important. I try to explain that. The first overcomes and the third overcomes are in present tense. We know the English grammar, right? What's the present tense? It's what we are doing now. Correct? It's what we are doing now. So present tense means that continual action of overcoming the world. John is saying, as a Christian, we are continually living in a way which is overcoming the world. Then the second may sound very strange term. They call aortic. Aortic participle in Greek, which means something happened in the past, a decisive action in the past, which make one a victor, which is in the past, we did something. So we overcome something. So by knowing this, we can rephrase what John is saying here, verse 4 and 5, as follows. Follow me. John is saying that, as a Christian, you and I, as a Christian, there was a victory in the past. It's a victory over the world. And now, the Christian, you and I, who have a victory against the world, not only in the past, but now we will continue to have the victory overcoming the world. Then the next thing we have to answer, we have to ask is, what is the world? What is the world? Please turn with me to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. 15 and 17. Can you read with me from 15 to 17? Okay, let's all turn to chapter 2. Okay, let's go. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and his desires pass away, but a man who does the will of God lives forever. What is the world? It's not a geographic world, right? It's not in the Middle East, not in China, not in Taiwan, not in here. No, John is not talking about the physical world here. He's talking about spiritual things. Three things. He's talking about three things, which really sort of the world is composed of in John's letter here. First, the cravings of sinful man. What is cravings of sinful man? Some translate as the lust of the flesh. For something, for some other sex, something like that. We can see nowadays there are so many, many rampant immorality, sexual immorality. Everywhere we see, we hear from the media, there are so many, many things like that. we do have an ambition or desire to own that. Did we ever have that? I wish I had that. I wish I had the $200 Nike shoes. Something appealing to your eye, you would like to own it. They call it lust of the eyes. The third thing, the boasting of what he has and does. Did we ever try or even very obvious showing off or brag about what you have or thinking you are much better than others? These are the three things John mentioned here. This is the world. But John said we can overcome this world thing. In other words, this thing is very common in our daily life, including us. More or less, we are having this kind of, we call worldliness, this kind of lust in our heart, in our mind. Why is that? You see that since Adam, we know our ancestor Adam fell in these three areas. We, each one of us, there's no exception. We as Adam's descendants are no longer immune from all these three things. We call worldliness. However, John chapter 5, let's go back to John chapter 5. John is trying to say is this. As Christians, we have the guarantee. He said, we have the guarantee overcoming the world. Not only did we claim the victory of Jesus Christ at the time of our conversion, that's the aorti participle, the victory that overcome the world in the past. Christian, become a Christian, at the time of conversion, we confess, we claim Jesus as a victory, he has a forgiveness. That's the time we overcome the world. We are so sure that from now on, the world cannot bother me. John said, yes, that was the truth. That was the fact. But not only that, but also we can continue to live in a victory against the world every day, continuously. We can illustrate this with a story. You're all familiar with C.S. Lewis, right? How many of you read C.S. Lewis? You do, right? C.S. Lewis tells a story about a little red lizard. Did you read this one? How many read this one? None, right? So I can say that. C.S. Lewis, once he tells a story about a little red lizard and a ghost. And the ghost, the story goes like this. This little red lizard, a certain ghost carry on his shoulder. Did you ever see the people carry a parakeet here? Carry a lizard here? But in the story, it's a ghost. A ghost carry on his shoulder a lizard. And the lizard constantly whisper to the ghost, say, do this, and do that, and do that. But the ghost, they say, please be quiet, don't bother me. I know what you're saying is wrong, I don't want to do it. But this goes days and nights, when a bright shining presence, means Jesus Christ or whatever God has manifested in such a way. He said a bright and shining presence appears and offers to help the ghost to get rid of this monster, to get rid of this trouble baggage. The ghost denied. He said, no, don't do it. Why? Because ghosts understand to take care of this beast, to make it shut down, quiet. It is necessary to kill it. No other way. Then the ghost start to deny the presence offering. He says, well, they got to have some better ways than this. So he started to entertain a serious rationalization. He said, perhaps the lizard don't have to die. He doesn't have to die. He can only probably... We just train the lizard, become tame, just train the lizard, Or maybe we can suppress it, put her to sleep. Don't bother me, just sleep. So finally, the ghost said, okay, you want to do it, do it. So the presence take up the laser, threw it on the ground, break his back, and stabbed it to death. Then what happened? Then the amazing thing happens. The ghost becomes a perfect man. And at the same time, the laser becomes an incredible, beautiful, silver, and a gold stallion, beautiful horse. Thing. However, the stallion is like a richness and the energy of desire. Our normal desire is not stained by our sinful nature. But the lizard has to be killed first. Then we have a normal desire. That's beautiful. So this story really illustrated what I tried to bring it out, and the junk is trying to say here. He said, every one of us were like ghosts before. We were like ghosts before. And we all carry a whispering lizard on our shoulder. But at the time of our conversion, Jesus saved us. The lizard was killed. We had a victory in the past. At the time of our conversion, we all have the victory. However, since we still live in this sinful world, this evil world, there are still other lizards trying to find a time to climb up our shoulder and start to whisper again. And John is saying that we don't have to be succumbing to this. We don't have to succumb to this whispering. We can continue to do the same thing. We can shut him down. We can throw it away. We do have the Nikkei victory over it. Since it happened before, now we can do the same thing. If we don't do the same thing, one way or the other. So it is said, like, Christian is not ruined by living in the world. We are living in the world. But by allowing the world living in us, let the lizard crawl back again. If we let the world live in us and entertain it, sooner or later we will be consumed by it. That's our last. That's the lizard. I would like to illustrate this again. Let me illustrate another story. This story seems a little bit horrible, grisly. Okay. How many of you know that how an Eskimo they hunt for wolf? Anybody knows that? You don't know that. What he does is this way. First, the Eskimo will coat his knife with a layer of animal blood, freshly killed animal blood, and allows this blood to freeze on the blade. Then he adds another layer, until the whole blade is coated with the frozen blood. It means you cannot see the blade anymore. The sharp edge blade has been covered by the frozen blood. Next, the hunter will fix his knife in the ground with the blade up. So when the wolf, they do have a very sensitive nose, he will smell, they do have a blood scent coming from far away. So pretty soon he found it. He discovered the bait. He discovered something stick up there, and they do have a blood coming out there. So he started to lick it, testing the fresh frozen blood. He begins so hungry and begins to lick faster and faster and faster so vigorously. Finally, Ruth's frozen blood was leaked out. Then the sharp edge started to reveal. Finally, whole blade, the sharp edge become bare. But this wolf now has been craving for the blood. It become so hungry for that, wants more and more. But he does not know. What is leaking now is not a frozen blood. It's his own tongue being cut by the blood, by the blade. That's the fresh, warm blood. He's licking his own blood. What happened? He keep going, getting faster, getting more vigorous. By the time the blood drained out, when the morning come, he died. That's a horrible way to hunt for a wolf, but that's the fact, that's true. The hunter did that. But likewise, human being, we, you and I, our natural man, how many people are being consumed by their own lust, like this wolf, hunger for the blood, without knowing he's killing himself slowly and slowly. But, however, John is saying here, we, as a Christian, have the promise of having a Nikkei overcome this. Not by wearing a Nike product, no. By having the faith. But as a matter of fact, what is Nikkei? What does Nikkei coming from? How does it work? Let's see what John is saying here. In the beginning of the verse 4, let's go back to verse 4. He said, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. For everyone. This is not a correct translation. Not a for everyone. It should be for whatever. Any difference? Everyone and whatever. There's a difference. Everyone is a people. Can be he or she. But whatever is a neuter noun. Why John use this word, whatever? He tried to emphasize this. As a Christian, we do have the guarantee to overcome the world. But it's not emphasizing the person, you and me as a Christian. But it's emphasizing the thing we have inside us. That's the power. That's the source of victory. So he chooses whatever born of God. It's from God. It's not from our natural man. So if you follow this, continue. Go down here. What is John trying to say? He said, for everyone born of God, what is whatever born of God? He said, even our faith. The end of the verse 4. Even our faith. Take out the even. The original doesn't have the even. He said the faith. The faith is that whatever. Born of God means God give each of us as a Christian. We have the faith. It's not from ourselves. It's a gift from God. So this faith given to us, we take it so we can believe in Jesus Christ. The end of the verse 5. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So John is trying to say, since a circular argument, keep going on and repeat the same thing. He said, eventually he wanted to say is, we do have the Nikkei overcoming the world. This Nikkei is from God. It's not from our natural man. We cannot do it as a natural man. How many of us can tell us that how many times I try to do something, I determine to get rid of this bad habit, how many resolutions in the New Year's Eve I made it, but I fail. How many times I know God doesn't want me to do this, God want me to do this, I couldn't do it, I fail. Any one of us? I did. Sometimes I do. But interesting here, if you look at verse 3, this is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. God's commands are not burdensome. Agree? Be honest. God's commands are not easy. Can you love your enemy? Can you turn your cheek? Can you pray for your enemy? Can you bless those who persecute you? I can't. He asked you walk 1 mile with him. Jesus said, walk with him 2 miles. When was last time your parents asked you, do this and do that, even though it's very biblical, reasonable? Did you obey graciously or willingly? Not easy. But John is saying, it's not burdensome. Why is that? Because he followed by verse 4. For whatever born of God overcomes the world. It's not by our natural man we can do it. It's by the power, by the God's grace. He gives us the new birth in Jesus Christ. We do have a new life, which we can claim we can overcome in the world. By our nature, we are rebellious against God. No one can obey God's command. God's command is always so heavy, so burdensome. But John said, no, we are different now. The new birth God gives to us through Jesus Christ is a supernatural event. God sort of rescued us out of this world. Rescued us under the rule of the Satan into his family. So our victory is lying in the faith of Jesus Christ. This John trying to bring it out. If you are familiar with Hebrews author, I'm going to read it for you. You don't have to turn to Hebrews 4:15-16. He said, Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So unless we put our trust in Jesus Christ, which we did at the time of our conversion, if we don't put our trust continuously and ask His help continuously, we cannot, by our own strength, overcome the world. There's a story. 14th century, there's a duke by the name of Raynaud. He was living in the countries, nowadays Belgium. And his nickname, he used to be called a nickname, called Latin. The Latin nickname is a Crassus, which means fat. He's very fat. One day, Reynolds' brother, younger brother, Edward, led a successful revolt against him, threw him out. So Edward, his brother, became the king. So he captured Reynolds, and he did not kill him. Instead, he did something. In a way, it's very cruel. But in a way, it's showing how people's will is so futile, so fragile. He put his brother in a room. That room is built around him, in a castle. And he said to his brother, he said, as long as you can walk out the room, you can regain your title and your property. This would not be difficult for most of the people, because the room he built around him do have the windows, do have the door of a near normal size. None of the door is locked. None of the windows are barred. The problem is this. Problem is the Reynolds' size. So to regain his freedom, there's only one way. He needed to lose weight. But Edward, his brother, knew his older brother very well. So each day what he did to him is he sent a variety of delicious food. So instead of dieting himself out of the prison, Reynolds continued to eat. Why is his brother so kind to me? He continued to eat. So he grew fatter and fatter. So when Duke Edward was accused of cruelty toward his brother, he had a ready answer. He said, my brother is not a prisoner. He may leave whenever he so will. But Reynolds stayed in the room for 10 years because he couldn't walk out by himself. Until one day his brother, Edward, died in a battle. Then, this time Reynolds was released, but it was too late. His health was so ruined by his own unchecked lust. He died within a year. He died of his own prison. Of himself, his own appetite. He was killed by his own lust. he was not able to overcome that. This is a true story. But this solo illustrates how fragile, how futile our human's will is. We try to do it, we want to do it, we cannot do it. Jiang is saying it's not by our might, not by our own will, not by our own strength or power, but by our faith in Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, young or old, other than Nike products, do you have Nikkei? Or do you wish to have one? Here's the answer. Here's the answer. If you are truly born again Christian, you already have it. This John is saying here, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you are born again, there are a few things John is saying here. First, you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God.